My Fix It Up Life with Mark and Teresa, and today we're going the extra mile for big time style.
The ebullient and energized Emily Henderson, star of HGTV Secrets from a Stylist, shouts out some easy ideas for poppin' pizzazz.
Then we roll DIY style with Emily Winters from MaryPat and contributor to DIYnetwork.com to talk stylish projects on a budget.
It's time to go big and go home, right now.
On My Fix It Up Life. Want to turn a kitchen or bath from drab to fab? Tile it yourself with Bondera.
If you can paint or wallpaper, you can put in beautiful new tile yourself using Bondera.
Bondera makes tiling faster, easier, and cleaner than using mortar or mastic.
It's an advanced, pressure-sensitive adhesive on a roll
that repels water, is mold-resistant, and environmentally friendly.
Saving time and money is beautiful with Bondera Tile Mat Set.
Visit BonderaTileMatSet.com for more information.
Or grab a roll at Lowe's today.
It's an inconsequential job I work. They wouldn't know my name if it wasn't on my shirt. I ain't rich and famous, or I'd stand in my field. But in my own backyard, I'm a pretty big deal.
And you are inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa, and I'm feeling easy.
You're feeling easy.
Easy style, easy project.
Easy rider.
Low rider. Low rider, baby.
Well, this show is all about savvy style, and we've got two awesome guests on this episode, and their name is the same.
Planned it that way.
Yeah, you planned it?
That's exactly what I did.
Yeah?
Calling all Emily's.
Calling all Emily's. We have Emily from MaryPat.com, and she contributes to DIYnetwork.com, like my husband, Mark.
That's right. She writes for the Pegboard about all kinds of fun projects she's doing, from arts and crafts to, like, remodeling.
Yeah, and her perspective is a little bit different because she's a DIY learning how to do it herself.
Yes.
Which is kind of a cool thing because there are a lot of people out there that are trying out ideas. And, you know, we try out ideas, too, and trying to figure out how you're doing them. And then you can kind of see she talks about her, you know, her triumphs, her mistakes, and everything in between.
Yeah, exactly. You know, sort of one of the crowd, as it were.
Yes, definitely.
And then we're also talking with Emily Henderson from HGTV.
Yes.
And her show is called Secrets from a Stylist. Not by a stylist, with a stylist, or anything else, but from a stylist.
You
Emily
love the thing, whole thing about stylist and from her, too. Why is that? Why are you obsessed with that?
I will tell you exactly why. Because in getting ready for the show, I called Secrets from a Stylist everything but that.
What did you call it?
Oh, secrets by a stylist, secrets with a stylist, style secrets.
Really?
Oh my God, everything. Yeah. Everything but what it was. So now I have to like laser beam the Emily Henderson show from a stylist.
Okay, well, for my fixated husband, that's pretty cool. And we're also going to be sharing some really cool projects you can do with your kids.
Yeah, super fun stuff that we did on the 10 show. And it's all about doing stuff. You know, you can do projects with your kids, or you can do like woodworking projects to help stylize your own house and your own vibe.
Well, let me rewind a little bit, because what we did on the 10 show, and what we're going to be sharing in this show, is things that you have around your house. You can kind of do like little science experiments and turn them into fun for your kids this summer. Keep them busy and keep them happy too.
Science is fun.
Now let's fast forward to what you were just saying. And what's really cool is using things around your house and things that you inherit or stuff that just really speaks to you. It's kind of like that whole series of commercials on TV from... What's that name of that store?
Oh, I knew you were going to say, what's the name of that? I have no idea what you're talking about.
Pier 1. You know how
never
Pier 1...
It.
You've never seen a Pier 1 commercial?
No.
Oh, my goodness. So, you know how the Pier 1 commercial, and there's always, like, this weird monkey in a chair or something. He turns around.
Monkey in a chair. Okay. If it's beer1.com, I'm going to find their ad.
Or something else that's like kind of odd. It's like whatever speaks to you. And that's kind of the vibe of the show is, you know, whatever speaks to you, whatever you're inspired by, try it out and figure it out. Because, you know, it's all about your unique style. You don't have to spend a lot of money to make yourself really happy.
Right. And you don't have to feel compelled to spend a lot of money to get that design, that look, that thing. You can take it on yourself and use found objects to make new objects. And it's really a great way to do stuff. Like our wedding photo, for example.
Yeah, that's stuff that was actually a part of the house. And you reused it to make a wedding frame for us for our photo.
Yes, it's literally nail-embedded 100-year-old studs that you would not think of as picture frame material, but lo and behold.
But Mark does, and that's really cool because we have it hanging on our wall, and I'm charmed by it every time I look at it.
I also made you a present once out of window weights.
Yes, you did.
Window weights
it's
art.
It's kind of a really heavy present.
Yeah, the thing is, we need an extra wall to hang it up because it weighs about 100
here's
pounds.
Here's a present made literally out of weights from my exercise husband.
But you can also apply this like anywhere, and I love doing this.
And exactly, just like we just made pillows out of Lexi's old skirts.
And by we, you
mean
you.
To help decorate her room. She's out, you know, kids outgrow their clothes constantly. There's so many fun little things that you can do with their old clothes. Besides just pass them on to your friends that have smaller kids, there's other things, stuff you can do with it too.
Totally. And, you know, this sound like all lecturing and everything, but it's time spent together. You know, you do these things together with your kids, like the things we made on the 10 show, the bubbles and the slime we'll talk about. And you can also do it outside your house too.
Yes, you can.
So we've got to take a break. And we'll come back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Across the street, kids all yell and scream like that's a superhuman feat. When I bring home the pizza, son, you ought to hear them squeal. Well, in my own backyard, I'm a pretty big deal.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with ThermaTrue fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting ThermaTrue.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
Inside My Fix It Up Life, and how are you, my Fix It Up husband?
Found. Fix It Up Fine Time.
It's hard to lose you because we spend all day together.
Isn't that terrific?
I think it's more of like you hide from me sometimes, like on the roof, or like, you know, you go on these quote errands to go do stuff.
Yeah, I'm just down the street sitting on a park bench watching traffic go by.
Well, and another thing that you've started doing too is you finally got your bikes fixed, so you're out. You know, you leave with your bike.
Jack and I are ripping out some fun rides. He loves it. We talk a lot of the way. Can't hear him all the time because of the wind going by.
Yeah, our 3-year-old Jack, he rides on the back of Mark's bike, and they are so super cute. And they, you know, they wear their, they call them fast hats. And
the bike helmets.
Yes. And Jack, our 3-year-old, thinks that black is a fast color and white is a slow color. So he's really into the whole thing about speed and fun and everything. So I have a perfect find for you that goes with your love of cycling.
Is it a fast hat? Because I need a new fast hat.
No, it's about recycling. Get it?
Oh, wait. Let me flow chart that.
Using cycle parts into home decor. And it's a really cool story. This company that's based out of Oregon, they're called Resource Revival. You can check them out online. And there'll be a post on our website too. They actually make products out of used bike parts that can no longer be, you know, like you patch your tires and stuff like that.
Yes.
When, you know, you're done patching them and they can't be repatched anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then bike shops around the country collect these and they send them to Resource Revival out in Oregon. And then they make cool things like clocks and bowls and frames and bracelets and all kinds of cool stuff.
Wow.
It's So I was kind of thinking it would be a perfect place for me to buy presents for you. So I'm kind of waiting for like a year to pass so that I can buy you a present because you might forget about it by then, which is the perfect thing. I love husbands for that because you'll forget about it and then I'll get you the present. You'll say, oh yeah, I remember that stuff you were talking about.
Not me, because I'm going to use a mnemonic device.
What's that?
I want a sprocket clock, which is going to be a sprocket.
A sprocket.
So okay. When it arrives, your teeth all greasy and everything, I'll know where it came from.
Well, and you'll love the story too, because the guy that created the company, he actually was biking to work, and he worked at a recycling place, and he was biking to work, and he had a flat tire, and he had patched his tire a couple times before, and it didn't patch. So he was trying to figure out a way that he can reuse his tire, and it came up to this whole company. They've been in business for like 15 years.
That is super cool. I love the inventive nature. You know, necessity being the mother of invention, thrift, not wanting to throw things into the waste stream. I totally dig that.
And as a woman, I kind of like the compliment that mothers have to do with invention because we're so creative. We've got a creative spirit and the soul and everything like that.
Yeah, that's it. Because that guy's a mother.
No, the mother of invention.
Yes, I get it.
Yeah. You don't ever say the father of invention.
Well, that's a good segue to my craftsman sidelights.
Seriously?
Craftsman.
I love craftsman.
Craftsman style.
Yes.
Yes, that's what we're talking about. And we're talking about Therma-True classic craftsman sidelights that go with their craftsman doors.
Yes.
So when you're undertaking a door project, way better to think about this at the planning stage. Yes, you can do a great new door, but you can make the door more by adding side lights and transoms.
You know, that's really a kind of an awesome thing because, you know, I like to acquire things for our home that are sort of in the period of our home.
Yes.
And we have an American four square, and our house isn't really any kind of style. Like there isn't the four square style of products, but it's sort of the time of arts and crafts, kind of, you can even go a little Art Nouveau, which, you know, we do have our doorbell, which is Art Nouveau.
I don't know that.
It is.
Well, that's good. Writing it down, uh-huh. Art Nouveau doorbell.
But you can go a little bit, you know, whatever turn of the century-ish when you have a four square, which is kind of cool. And arts and crafts is beautiful in an American four square.
Oh, I love the structural details that are part of the style. It's really, really pretty. And when I think about a door and I think about adding side lights to it, I'm thinking beyond the style. I mean, the style is obviously important. But what I think about when I think about a door is the experience of the door. What item in your house, maybe beside your toilet and your stove and your kitchen sink, do you touch 5, 10, 20 times a day? It's not your walls. It's not anything but your front door. You have to go in and out, or your back door.
I would venture to say your remote controller, too.
Hundreds upon hundreds of times.
That would be probably, or your phone, you know, your smartphone.
I'm talking about parts of the
house.
Oh,
I thought it was
though.
A quiz. I don't know.
Not anything in your life.
But your door makes a statement for your entire house, and you talk about curb appeal and being inviting. If you're just enjoying your home, or if you're trying to resell your home or whatever, it really does make a statement about you and your style and the whole thing. And it's sort of what welcomes someone into your home, too.
Beyond question.
Not about just touching it, but just it does make a statement.
And furthermore,
it's like combing your hair. You want to look nice when you meet new people.
Yeah, that's true. There's no question about that. Everything from exterior curb appeal to interior privacy and a sense of place without feeling cut off from the outside, because the side lights are going to let light in. With some glass packages, you'll actually be able to see out, but it's going to give you an interior sense of space, unlike your smartphone or your remote control. There's only one interface with that. That's a one-way street.
Have you seen what my phone can do?
One-way street. But this is a two-way street. It's tactile. You touch it. You close the door, and we can say this from owning our Therma-True door, that when it closes, there's a before and after in that moment. Now, it's not a daily carnival. You're not going to go through your door and do cartwheels and stuff, but It's one of life's simple pleasures that, taken together, adds up to really awesome project.
I kind of feel like we should hold hands now because that was very powerful and very moving.
Well, it builds...
Like, I've never been so moved about someone talking about their front door before.
I think about that stuff all the time.
Really?
Yes, it is so well worth investing in the experience of the front door, and it's also well worth investing in a break, which we're going to take now. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
I forgot. Where do you begin?
Is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
And you are inside My Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my... very merry wife, Teresa.
Oh.
Yes, indeed.
I like to be called Mary, especially out of season. Because usually you only hear the word Mary around the holiday times.
That's right. Especially in mine and Lexi's world-famous favorite movie, the Ron Howard Grinch movie.
It's because of you.
That's right.
It's because of you and Lexi. The reason why the world knows about that movie is nothing to do with Jim Carrey or anything. Or like it being a famous book or whatever.
Or Anthony Hopkins being the narrator when he says...
No. It's you and Lexi all the way.
Yep. Well, very merry.
Well, I'm excited to talk to our guest because she hears the word Mary all the time.
Yes, and it is Emily Winters. She is the editor, chief blogger, and DIY addict, I believe, at marypad.com. And DIYnetwork.com. Mary, are you still with us? Emily,
yes.
Are you?
Emily, yes, I'm here.
I refuse to call you by your name now.
Do you get that a lot? Do people want to call you Mary?
Actually, I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, I can actually answer that.
Okay.
Because as many times as I've read her blogs at DIYnetwork.com, and as many times as I've looked at her site and emailed her, I write Mary at, no. Emily at marypad.com.
That's funny. Maybe it's like Jon Stewart, because a lot of people call him John Daly.
All the time.
Because it's the Daily Show.
Yep.
You're like Emily Mary now.
Yep, I guess that's true.
That's very cool. And Mark was excited to see a project that he actually was coming to tell me about it. He never comes to tell me about projects that don't involve like power tools and wood. And
oh, we'll get to that in a minute because Emily does have one of those forthcoming, it looks like.
But he did. He came to me and told me about this project that you used like... you knitted something, and it's totally outside of Mark's whole comfort zone to him to tell me about a knitting project, so I want to know about
it. Yeah, her knitting needles are javelin.
The project started, and I'm really not that much into knitting either. I have some experience in it, and, like, my mom taught me how to knit when I was little, and I never really did anything more than making scarves. So, like, my experience and my know-how is pretty limited, but I wanted to make something unique for my entryway. And I was really looking into some different kind of woven rugs and something that we could really walk on and wear and tear on a bit since we have a dog that's running out of the house every day. And where I originally got the inspiration is I found this big piece of yardage, this vintage teal fabric at a garage sale, and it was like $1, and it could have been good for anything. I mean, it was long enough. I could have used it for curtains. I could have, you know, made bed sheets out of it probably over so much of it.
Hmm.
But I kind of thought that it would be neat to strip it down into one-inch sections and then, you know, ball it up like it was yarn and see, like, if I could actually knit with that. And in order to make something that I wanted to be the width of a rug, which I was hoping for, you know, between 18 and 24 inches, I even made my own knitting needles out of a dowel that I just bought at Home Depot and, you know, went to town and just tried to see how it would work. And what I ended up finding after I was hours and hours into the project is that the vintage fabric had a bit more stretch to it than I was prepared. So it stretched into different proportions and it really wasn't that great. So I abandoned that project and I'm kind of constantly doing things by trial and error and realizing that some of my ideas don't come to, you know, fruition as nicely as I want them to. So I had a second idea, and that being to buy rolls, like 100-foot rolls of seafoam fabric that's kind of like jute or, you know, the heavyweight rope that you see at Home Depot, you see at the normal stores. And, I ordered a whole bunch of it off Amazon, and it was really cheap compared to what I was able to find in a retail around where I live. And I knit a entryway rug that ended up being about 5 feet wide by 2 feet wide, 5 feet long by 2 feet wide.
Wow.
And it's actually just really durable, doesn't have a lot of stretch to it. Seasonal rug that, you know, just feels really great under your feet, and it's... you know, it has that like nice natural aesthetic that a lot of people are looking for in their home decor right now anyways. And it really fits in nicely with my house, and, you know, it didn't cost like $120, you know, it was just like $30, which was mostly shipping from Amazon, but it turned out really nice.
Well, that is so cool that you made your own knitting needles. And I'm kind of thinking, did you leave it natural and, you know, like you could actually dye the rope before you actually knitted it too, so you can make patterns and all kinds of stuff using the same kind of really cool technique.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool.
A lot of people use like natural materials, natural dyes. I mean that with like the natural aesthetic of the rope would probably look really nice.
So now we have a project for Mark to do.
Well, Emily, I'm all about tying
knots. You're not committing to the project.
And things of that. But as far as me knitting anything goes, probably not going to get there.
Well, maybe you could macrame it then, dear, because that's all about tying knots.
Yeah, because I even know what macrame is. You know, you brought something up, Emily, that happens to us periodically, too, about your first plan not really coming to fruition. We call those Humpty Dumpty days. Where, you know, Humpty Dumpty just, you know, he thinks he's going to sit on the wall, and then he falls off, and then it's like, oh, man. But what you did and kind of what we do is try to find the best in that and keep plugging forward. I love that.
Yeah, persistence really does pay off, and it's kind of really inspiring to be able to see you coming up with these ideas, and then, you know, something doesn't work out, so you go through the next door and see if that is going to work out for you and learn stuff along the way. And I think that's something that we all try to do.
Now, I'm really glad that you like that. Thanks, I'm flattered.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, and that sort of paves the way to the next question, which is, you have a project you're preparing now for DIY Network's Pegboard. Just give us a sneak peek at what it is and if it involves those awesome knitting needles.
Oh, really?
Knitting needles, no, but using all kinds of different muscles to prepare a big flagstone patio in our backyard. It's been something that we've been talking about for a couple years now, and we're really like trying to forge ahead and make this new outdoor space that we can live in, hopefully for the rest of the summer. You know, hopefully it'll be done within the next 2 weeks, although I can tell you that these things always take longer than you intend, and it's all so dependent on the weather and, you know, how sore you are the next day after shoveling dirt for, you know, 10 hours. But we spent a few weeks researching materials. We finally landed on flagstone, although that was kind of just where our gut was going into this. You know, we were looking at pavers, we looked at brick options, and, you know, obviously a lot of it comes down to pricing and what's available locally, and see if the suppliers have enough in stock that they can just deliver it to us and not have to wait weeks and weeks for something new to come into their inventory. And You know, we've done a lot of research. We've, you know, talked to other DIY hosts to determine, like, the best course of action and how to build that underlayer, what to use in terms of the crusher stone and the sands and the polymerics that you're going to want to be looking into. And we're still even in the process of ordering some more of those materials. But, you know, we spent a good amount of time preparing the space. And, you know, we've really only just in the last week begun digging a lot. And our forearms and our blisters are there to show for it. But it's been, you know, a really fun process.
You're going to have to take a photograph of your blisters and post them on your Facebook page. Which is facebook.com/MaryPad. Check out her pins on Pinterest at MaryPad and follow her on Twitter.
We do. And we'll be back in just a minute with more My Fix It Up List.
Is why you try. Can you get a break to get better?
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with Therma-True fiberglass doors and Fipon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting Therma-True.com and Fipon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com. One,
job that's too small, a change of bulb and a patch of wall. If it's loose, I'll make it tight. That's right.
Cock a tub. And you're inside My Fix It Up Life.
We're here with my beautiful wife Teresa and her swashbuckling handsome husband Mark.
That's a lot to live up to.
Yeah, it is.
Do you have the game to bring it?
I got all kinds of games.
Yeah, like Scrabble and Yahtzee and all kinds of stuff.
And
kicking it from your childhood days, because you love board games.
I have to be honest with you that Monopoly and Parcheesi were my games when I was really little, but not a board game guy.
No, it kind of makes him bored.
Yeah.
They're boring games to him now as a grown up. He'd rather be outside throwing a ball, riding his bike, tackling someone. Or some kind of...
As a matter of fact, I often tackle random neighbors.
Yes, you do.
Just lay them out in the sidewalk.
You throw a ball at them, then you tackle them.
Yeah. Hey, look at this.
We'll play football. But so we have blasts from our past. You know, recently we were on the NBC 10 show, and we made some really cool stuff that, you know, is less expensive to make at home than it is to buy it in the stores, and it's so fun for everyone in the family. We made bubbles.
That's right. We also made slime.
And Play-Doh.
Yes, which I have to full honesty again, never played with really as a kid, but it's a great fun family project.
Now, did you ever play with slime?
No,
bubbles.
I don't even know what
you have a childhood?
No, I was born.
Are you like Mork from Mork and Mindy?
I was born an adult.
Yeah, you were born an adult. You're slowly becoming a baby.
I went out to the garage. I took my bike apart. I put it back together. I found junk bikes in people's
trash. Were you in trouble a lot?
No.
I think you were.
I wasn't. I was a good boy.
You never saw The Wizard of Oz either. And you
How
didn't
does
play
that equate
Play-Doh.
To me being in trouble or Play-Doh?
Well, you know, bubbles are really super easy to make. And there's a blog up on our website at myfixituplife.com. And they only take three things you have to have in your house. And most people have all three of these things. Sugar, water, and dishwashing liquid. That's all you need.
Now, how do you make it, though?
Well, you take a half a cup of dishwashing liquid and 2 cups of water and 2 teaspoons of sugar and you mix it all up and then you have bubbles. So you can put them in, like if you have a bubble gun, those are so super cool. Or if you have like a bubble like machine that throws out bubbles, or if you just have like a bubble wand,
Why do I feel like I'm going to suddenly go downstairs and I'm going to be like in some kind of retro movie with like a disco ball and bubbles flying
around? We have a disco ball in our house too. Did you know that? We have a bubble machine. which we haven't used in a few years, which I absolutely love. But bubbles are great for everyone in the family, and you can make them glow in the dark, too.
That is super cool, but how?
How do you make them glow in the dark? Well, you can use...
I would shine a Klieg light on them, which would make it not dark.
Well, you can use a high... You can actually use a highlighter. You cut it in half, and you pull out the felt...
insert, I guess.
The felt ink that's inside of it.
Right.
And then you put it in the solution and let it just kind of seep in and shine a light over the bubble solution so it gets all nice and just charged up.
Right.
A fluorescent light is usually the best. And then it'll glow in the dark.
Super awesome.
Yeah.
So you can blow bubbles in the dark and run around chasing them.
Well, it's kind of a fun summertime activity. I keep kids busy. And, you know, this recipe is actually less than if you even bought the bulk kind of bubbles on Amazon or Walmart or whatever.
Which is a bottle that's going to sit around your house, like, forever.
It won't sit around your house forever because bubbles are fun. We have no bubbles sitting around our house because we use them all the time.
Now, take me through Play-Doh.
Play-Doh is awesome.
I did one time at one of my friend's houses, now that I'm thinking back 57,000 years to the Pleistocene era, he had the barber shop and you had to squeeze a plunger and then hair would come out of the guy's head.
It was Play-Doh. It wasn't actual hair.
Oh, it wasn't actual hair.
It was Play-Doh.
Well, his Play-Doh must have been dried out or something because we broke the guy. So don't go to that guy's barbershop.
See, that's the thing is Play-Doh can dry out. So you want to make sure that you keep it in a sealed container. So they usually, if you buy Play-Doh from a store, they come in those tiny little cups.
Yeah.
And they have the little, like...
Little lid
on top.
They're always gummed up with Play-Doh.
Yes. But you want to clean out the inside of the rim of the... of the lid so that, you know, because Play-Doh can get stuck inside of it,
yeah.
And then it won't actually seal properly and you'll get air in it.
What about storing it in, like, a freezer bag?
You can, but don't put it in the freezer.
Don't freeze it.
It'll make it hard.
Good to know.
But that's one of the cool things about Play-Doh is that you can actually make projects with your kids and you let it out and let it dry and it'll be really, like, it'll be hard, and then you can paint it, or decorate it, and give it as a gift.
So you made some awesome stuff.
Oh, I spent a lot of time with Play-Doh as a kid. We did the barber thing, and then, you know, you'd pull...
Like, what if you don't have the barber thing, or you don't want to have it because, for whatever reason, and you just want to make some things? Like, what are some projects that you made?
Oh, well, one thing that most kids usually start off with is, like, making snakes. So you just roll out the Play-Doh, make it really long,
uh-huh.
And then you can twist it and kind of like make corkscrew kind of thing out of it.
Uh-huh.
And then you can do all kinds of things out of the long stringiness of it.
Like turn it into different shapes.
Yeah, turn it into different shapes. Or you can, you know, you can like squeeze it in your hand and make it like explode between your fingers and be all like gross and stuff. Or you can make something really cool. Like you can make a little sculpture, like a little head or a little, like, an easy thing to do is make little balls and make a snowman and you could decorate it with the different colors.
You know, left to my own devices, I would just make a ball and try to juggle.
Yeah.
What else would I couldn't break anything with
well,
them.
Well, the recipe for how to make Play-Doh, it's really simple. It's on our website. I won't go through it right now, but all you need is flour, salt, oil, and water. And then you want to take food coloring too. So you can get the color.
So you can get different colors.
Yes.
Different colors, different batches.
Yes.
Store it separately.
You always want to store it separately or all just turns like a gooey, ooey color too.
Gooey, ooey?
Yeah, you don't want to have it all. Well, slime is another super fun thing that I played with when I was a child because I had a happy childhood. And
why does my childhood need to be unhappy that I didn't play with these items?
Yeah.
I played with the coaster brakes on my bicycle. They were slimy.
You
did? A lot of grease in there. I took them apart.
Well, that's kind of cool. Well, the recipe for slime is pretty simple, and all you need to have is, like, white glue, like Elmer's glue.
Right.
And water. And you want to have, like, a food coloring, too, because you want to make it, like, be green or blue or something. You can get, like, fluorescent colors as well so that it looks really, like, psychedelic slime.
Super awesome.
And you need borax.
Mule Team borax.
Well, Mule Team is a brand of borax.
I feel like it's 1917 right now for some reason.
The thing about borax is that it's a whitener. You know, you can put it in your laundry, and people have been using this for thousands of years, literally thousands of years, to brighten their whites in their, you know, when they're cleaning their clothes.
Okay.
Because it really does work. You can find it in the near the detergent in the laundry aisle in a super like a big grocery store or a Walmart. If you go to a small grocery store, it might not have it because it's not as popular as you think as you it might be because it's it does brighten your whites and make your laundry smell good and it gets rid of stink too.
This is the first time I've ever heard this. This is really cool. I want to use borax.
Well, and you can make it glow in the dark as well. Like you can use a highlighter or you can. The other thing to do is to make things glow in the dark is you just get some glow in the dark paint. And it's really easy to find glow in the dark paint. They have it at Walmart. They have it on Amazon.com. They
it's
have
not
it.
Paint store paint though.
What do you mean?
Like you would go to Sherwin-Williams or an Lowe's
no,
or something like
this
that.
This is like crafty paint, dear.
Okay.
This is, they come in little littler tubes. And
oh,
then,
tubes of paint.
Yeah, like small, not
all,
like a gallon.
All I
gallon.
Can picture is a gallon of paint.
Gallon of paint. You're a sewer contractor.
Where's the Kiehl's glow-in-the-dark primer?
Well, you know, Rust-Oleum does make glow-in-the-dark paint. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, and you can get spray paint that's glow-in-the-dark.
You've now got a fix-it-up fine section within our NBC 10 show section.
Well, you know, it's kind of really cool that you can put things to glow in the dark. And it's really cool for like a kid's room or something like that. You know, beyond just making bubbles, Play-Doh, and slime, you know, decorating and doing a fun thing on your like kid's ceiling. You can paint like stars or whatever, or do like a little spray paint kind of technique on something in their room so that like during the day it gets all the light and it absorbs all the light. And then at night, it can be its own nightlight for your kid. That's super cool.
That is super cool. I love that. And I would love to do like a real constellation kind of thing on a ceiling for Jack. He would love the exactness of that.
You really want to have like, an exact kind of replica
of the whole
universe?
Milky Way.
Really?
No.
I don't think I have that in me. I have it in me to do some kind of really cool glow-in-the-dark kind of treatment. But not so much like Michelangelo, like, you know, like throw it all out there kind of thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I think you might be leaving some game on the table there.
You know what you should do? You should paint your lawnmower glow in the dark. And then you'd be like so stealth outside mowing the lawn at night.
At midnight?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure our friends at Troy Built would love that.
But that'd be
Here's
cool.
Here's my video. I taped it at night.
Well, you could just do like racing stripes or something on it. Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be neat. There's a bike in the Tour de France that is painted neon, like a neon glow-in-the-dark color. And it has a cool name, the Tourminator.
The Tourminator?
The Tourminator. Because the rider, whose name I can't remember, keeps breaking his bicycles. So
well,
we've got the whole glow-in-the-dark mojo going on.
Well, I love glow-in-the-dark. And these recipes to make all these things are on our website at myfixituplife.com. And I hope that you guys try them out. And if you have other things that we should be making at home that we could save some money and have some fun, because it's super cool for kids to be able to put simple things together like flour and water and salt and everything that they you use every day and to make it into something else.
Exactly. And not only, like, let's say you're having a slumber party and all your kids' friends are around. It's an activity that they can do. It's safe. It's easy. And it's like one of those things that shows you the world isn't just automatic. And you can use your own creativity to really have fun, not be in front of a TV, for example.
Well, and one of the really awesome things about the Play-Doh that you make at home is that you know what's in it. You know how toddlers like to put everything in their mouth? In the Play-Doh that you buy in the store, you don't know what's in it exactly, but you know what you're putting in it is going to be safe for them.
And it's going to be safe for us to take a break, which we'll do now. We'll be back with more of my Fix It Up Life. Rain or shine, I can come when you call. If there's any kind of trouble, it's the trouble. And I'll be there on the double with the right tools and a two strong hands. Well, if it's stuck, I can twist it. If it's heavy, I can lift it. I'm your Mr. Fix-It Man.
Sanding walls before you paint? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet dry vac and go. No drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
Mark, we're getting a lot of questions about windows.
It's true, and I'm telling everyone to visit Simonson.com for the answers. They have tons of free materials and everything from lead-safe window replacement details to understanding condensation in their homes.
You'll also find help in figuring out the best time to replace your windows and how to select vinyl windows that add to your home's curb appeal.
Just visit Simonton.com for all the answers to your window questions.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
And you are back inside my Fix It Up Life with my beautiful wife, Teresa.
And my handsome husband, Mark.
And shh, it's no secret.
What's no secret?
It's no secret that we're joined by Emily Henderson, star of HGTV's Design Star and Secrets from a Stylist.
I love secrets. Emily, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. I love how you say from so emphatically.
As far as I'm concerned, that's the only word.
Because when they were naming the show, they at first they said Secrets of a Stylist, and they thought that Secrets from a Stylist, which is so much more compelling and convincing. I'm not totally sure it is, but it's hilarious that there's a big distinction between those two words.
Well,
that's
awesome. I'm fixated on the secrets part because I love secrets. And
me too.
Well, one thing is that you shared a really good point in HGTV's magazine, which is, I think, out on newsstands right now. It's the June-July issue. Mm-hmm. And you kind of put a spotlight on this for me because I have had a history in my life of collecting things because I'm obsessed with them. And you point out that if you are in love with something and it's really special to you, to not buy multiples of that.
Well, I mean, I think there's a distinction between buying multiples of the exact same thing and creating a collection, because I'm a big fan of collections as well. But I think that what people get a little bit, where they make a mistake, is when they are out shopping and they see two of the same thing, and they're like, sweet, you know, I scored, I found two. And it actually, by putting them in the same room, it takes the uniqueness away from each one, so it kind of dumbs down both of them. But as far as the collection, I think that is, you know, I think it's slightly different because in a collection you actually are buying a lot of like variations of the same thing, but they're at least a variety. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Now,
because
collection,
I don't want that to be, I mean, I'm a massive fan of collections. Like I collect everything.
Really? You know? Like what are you collecting right now?
What am I collecting right now? Okay. So I always collect, brass animals. It's just my thing. I have a complete zoo, and it's a problem. I always collect white-footed vessels, like pottery, because I use them so much in styling for shelving styling or coffee table or, you know, vases for flowers. So there are certain things I can't stop buying. And so I even had to create a bunch of rules for myself. And do you want to hear my collecting rules?
Yes. Really need your collecting rules.
Okay. So I wish I had them in front of me. Like, I wrote them all out one day on my blog. But the first thing is, don't collect the world. You know, choose two or three or maybe five things that you want to collect and just make those collections really good. But you can't collect everything because then you become, you know, it becomes a hoarding problem. The second is, make sure that you're not just collecting, like, say if it's, you know, blue pottery plates, you're not just collecting any of them. You're collecting the ones that are rare and interesting, because otherwise you're just hoarding them from everybody else, but they're,
you're not really making the collection special, and it kind of dumbs everything down. So you want each one to be unique, like you bought it for an exact reason, not just because it fits into technically fits into the collection. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
And then make sure to display your collection together, because especially if it's tchotchkes, if you spread them out throughout your whole house, it will just look like tchotchkes, whereas if you display them together, say, in like a curio cabinet or, you know, on a particular shelf, then it becomes a special collection and not just something that is, like, spread out and just kind of, like, taking up space, and people won't get it as much, you know, so display them together.
So
those are my three rules for me.
Those are
really good, and I like the not spreading it out all over your house, because it kind of ages your house and makes it seem like older too.
Everybody is afraid of collections. I mean, we're not, but a lot of people are, because what they remember is, you know, their grandma's house when they were little, where there was just, you know, like little porcelain figurines everywhere. So you just have to be kind of careful with your collections, but nothing's wrong with being a collector. I mean, I think that it's one of the most fun things in the world to do, is to, you know, have something you love and try and find the best of those. But you just have to be kind of careful.
Totally. Now, do you actually have a fence built around your zoo, or any kind of moat?
It's honestly a little out of control. I have this big One Kings Lane sale coming up, and brass animals are kind of like iconic to me. People know how much I love them, so I'm going to sell a bunch of them, and I'm feeling really good about it right now. I don't know if like the day of the sale I'll start panicking, but I'm going to keep like my favorite four or five, and then, you know, relinquish the rest of them to the world.
Wow.
Oh, they're going back into the wild. That's so nice.
I'm freeing them.
You have a great catch and release program.
I love that. Like, you've raised them, and, you know, they're old enough to, like, you know, be out on their own.
Look for Emily Henderson's new show on Animal Planet.
Yeah, totally.
it's the catch and release of brass figurines.
That's fantastic.
I do have a real question for you, which is, I've seen some of your work, of course, on Secrets from a Stylist and in HGTV magazine and on Animal Planet. And you have, of course, such an eclectic style. Is there a time period of design, of history, or anything like that that sort of informs where you start from?
Well, not one particular time. You know, for the show, I did a style diagnostic, and which is a series of questions that I ask the client or the homeowner to try and figure out what their style is. And one of the questions I do ask the most often, even if it's off camera, is what decade would you live in if you could live in any decade? And not just, you know, what was happened socially, but, you know, everything, like what it looked like, what the general energy was, whether it was, and every decade in general, especially in the 20th century, is very different. And so that does give me a good jumping off point, because a lot of people, you know, they might say 50s, 60s because they're in mid-century. They might say 70s Palm Springs. Like, that's one that I'm a huge fan of. And it's, you know, sometimes I have to show them pictures, but it is very helpful to hone in on what type of vintage style they like. And some of them say none. Some of them, like, don't want anything vintage. And then we do contemporary. But that is a question that I ask a lot. And it's funny, because I was a history major. I got my degree in history. And I always laughed about it in my 20s. I was like, oh, what am I using that degree for? You know, clearly nothing. Like, I'm playing with flowers all day. But then I realized that it actually has been informing a lot of, like, my design work. So, which is pretty funny.
That's super cool. Now, then you don't really have to dig too deep if someone says their favorite century, decades, 1320.
Yes, I don't think anybody's ever been that obscure. There are some that say, you know, they want, I don't know, you know, like the Marie Antoinette look. They want, you know, something French in the 1800s, and that's super exciting. When people can go that far back, that's extremely fun for me, because I do get a little sick of doing the same decades over and over, because, like, mid-century is so big right now still that we had to, on the show, kind of start thinking about that with casting, because we didn't want every single week to look the same, obviously. And so that style was coming up way more than any other style, so we kind of had to monitor that a little bit.
Well, I think that kind of qualifies Mark for your show if he wants to have 1320s.
Oh, yeah. I was using myself as an example there.
That would be kind of really challenging. I would not want to see his style diagnostic at all.
Yeah, I don't think...
It would be so fun. They're really fun. A lot of it is... You know, maybe patterns of fabric or what you're wearing. Like, I love analyzing people's wardrobe and turning that into the style of their space. But, and then there's one of my other favorite questions is, if you had to live in a movie, what movie would you live in? And it's hard to come up with that, like, right off the bat. But
I know I would
give them, like, a day in advance on that. But it is very telling.
My movie is Mary Poppins. That's where I would
really
live.
Oh, that would be very fun.
Yes.
Yeah. What's your movie?
Mine is a combination of The Royal Tenenbaums, because it's just so quirky and weird and interesting. And I do love Marie Antoinette. I do love, like, over-the-top, girly, princessy, glamorous, luxurious stuff. But then I also love, do you remember that movie that came out a few years ago? I think it was called A Simple Man. It was set in the 60s, and it was just the wallpaper matched the rug, matched the drapery, and it was so over the top that it was just very, very exciting to be in. So, but my style changes kind of a lot because I shop so much, and I have, you know, a bit of style ADD, so that answer could definitely change in 6 months, that's for sure.
So when you're shopping for stuff, and, you know, you mentioned your animal collection and different things that you have, do you actually shop for stuff, have it for a while, and then use it either on the HGTV show or in your clients' homes?
Yes, we call it fostering. So I'll be at the flea market and I'll find an amazing chair. I don't know who I'm going to use it for, but I know I can't, excuse me, I can't not buy it. So what happens is it will either come home with me for a couple months or maybe even go to an assistant's house for a couple months. And then when we find the right home for it, then we adopt it out. And
you're kind of like...
Then it goes home with, you know, the homeowner on the show or an outside client. I mean, that doesn't happen with everything, but my house is a rotating, like, showroom, basically. My husband is so sick of seeing things come in and then seeing them go. So now he's definitely put the kibosh on certain things. He's like, we get to keep this, please. I'm like, all right, if you love it that much, it will never leave. But it's constantly rotating, but it's fun.
Does he like, it's like his favorite chair or something like that he sits
in? Exactly.
Okay.
There are just, and when he cares enough to say something like, please don't give that away, then I don't, because, I mean, he's begging for us to keep this lamp. Like, clearly it's important to him to have this lamp, you know. But in general, he doesn't care. He's like, oh, that's fine, you know. But when he cares, he really cares.
Well, that is really fun, and, like, I bet that his style is probably a little bit different than your style, too, so blending those together.
Yeah, but he's kind of, like, it's not a battle he wants to fight, you know what I mean? Like, so he puts his foot down every now and again, but he's a smart enough guy that he's like, whatever, she's going to do whatever she wants to do anyway, and so it's not, he stopped caring, I think, years ago.
Did he actually build a room? Did he actually build a room in the back of your house and then move and you didn't know?
Seriously. No, it's funny because we're in this new house and I'm decorating each room, like, room by room for my blog. Like, I'm giving it a big makeover. And I want to go over the top. Like, I'm feeling very glamorous these days. I really want to go over the top. And so I was looking around our house the other day, and every single room has so much girl in it, it's getting a little out of control. And he hasn't said anything yet, but even I was like, I need to pull this back a little bit, because this poor guy is living amongst, like, crystals and velvet in every single room. And so we might need to adjust it a little bit for him, but he's not saying anything. It's hilarious.
So, like, when you travel for your show and you're filming, do you ever fear that you're going to come home
and dismantle the living room?
It's just going to be, like, he's just going to have leather on the walls and, like, you know, just, like, wagon wheels and antlers and stuff?
No. He is... I mean, he knows that that would be, he does like my style, even though it is particularly girly right now. In general, he likes how quirky the house is and how interesting it is and how much crazy art we have. Like, he can't deny that our house is really cool. So, in general, he goes with it. Sometimes I push him a little bit too far in the girly direction, but he's a smart guy. Like, he's not going to, that's not the battle, you know, that he's going to fight. So
sweet.
I don't have to worry about that yet. I mean, wait until we have like a son and I overdo it in, you know, something super girly. He might put his foot down then, but.
Yes. You don't want to girl up your husband's son. That's kind of like, you know, a barrier right there. But I do want to say, you know, looking at the HGTV magazine and looking at the spread, and you know, they talk about, they've pulled out like everything in your room that's in the room, except for one thing I want to know about is your slippers. There's
these
super cute.
They're Land's End, and they were like $29.
They're super cute.
Thank you. I love them. They're
well, that
pink,
that begs
super fun.
That begs the second question: flats or heels?
I wish I could say flats, but I really do. But heels make us taller and make our butt look better.
Oh, they do. They make you long and lean, and that's what you boys like.
I mean, I'll wear flats, but I'm not psyched about it.
Begrudgingly wear them. I get it. Yeah, to go on the subway in New York City or whatever.
Her slippers are flats.
It's funny because right now I'm wearing flats because I'm in New York, but normally in LA you drive everywhere. I mean, I haven't walked in years in LA, so you can wear heels almost every day, which is so girly, but it really makes you feel better and taller and prettier.
I love it. That's what I do. Well, I have one more very important question for you that I read on your website. And that it's, you're a big fan of the Dos Equis World's Most Interesting Man advertisement.
Oh, no.
That is so funny that you saw that. Every single time I see a commercial or a billboard, it's so good. they make him seem like I want to be him, you know? And it's kind of a cheap beer that's not particularly good or interesting. So I just think as far as an ad campaign, yeah, I'm on board. I love it.
Mark is obsessed with that as well.
Do you have a favorite line that comes to mind, or are you laughing too hard and you can't remember any of them?
Oh, gosh. I don't know if I remember any of them. What did I say? I did quote one, though, on the blog. I just forget which one it was.
No, I do, too.
Yeah, but
anyway,
he's awesome.
He is great. You know, his charisma can be seen from space.
Uh-huh.
He was late once to see how it felt. We're late, though.
We do. We have to go to break. So you have to go to stylebyemilyhenderson.com and check out our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Emily. And we've got to take a break. We'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
But I am so overexcited. Another team. Shut up!
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
You might be just a pretty face looking back at me. You might be an idle conversation piece. You might be another wasted memory, but I'd like to wait and see.
And you are back inside My Fix It Up Life, and we are at the end of our show.
And
don't forget, we want to hear from you guys. So send us your questions, because we want to help you with your projects. And we want to know what kind of projects you're working on, too.
Send us an email at info@myfixituplife.com.
Or share those projects and questions on Facebook at My Fix It Up Life.
And on Twitter at My Fix It Up Life.
See a theme there? Check out our videos on YouTube and on Blip TV.
See what we're pinning on Pinterest.
Download our free My Fix It Up Life app for iPhone, iPad, and Android.
And listen to all of our 100-plus My Fix It Up Life Talk episodes on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio.
And don't forget to check us out next week for more home improvement fun
on My Fix It Up Life. White dress walking up to me. It might be a sunrise in a sky blue sea. It might be the holder of my front door key at night. I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree.